Instagram, Fresh FM Namibia.
It's 7:13 on Namibia's Art and Soul. That's your time. Thank you so much for choosing us. Today is Human Resources Day on Fresh Breakfast. Today we're going to learn, okay? And in learning, we can always take this knowledge and either agree with it or don't agree with it or debate with it. We will do our part to bring it to you. Now, Esther Shivute, actually, you know what, backstory? Not so long ago, I think 2-3 weeks ago, we had a conversation about just how it is very difficult for job seekers when they are applying for jobs and when they are, you know, hustling for jobs and, you know, just the intricacies around it. Like, you already don't have money, but you're expected to, you know, be at an internet cafe for hours because you need to fill out a survey, and you know, then it takes you now to another website, and then, you know,
it's you filling out all your details, going through those details.
You see,
and then they still ask you to upload the CV.
The CV, and it's like, oh, my guy. Anyhow,
yeah.
First question that we're asking Osiya Esther Shivute, HR practitioner who specializes in learning and development, is expected salary. Which is always a bit of a trick question for job seekers. You know what I mean? How does HR want applicants to answer this specific question?
Well, run me my check, pay me what I'm worth, you know.
Run me my check.
No, I'm just kidding. Please don't ever say that, guys. but usually they're looking for a realistic and reasonable range that aligns with whatever position that the applicant applied for. And this is in terms of the position and the experience and also just their qualifications, you know. So it's best that when you go for an interview or when you're applying for a post, it's advisable that you do thorough research regarding salaries. What's the typical salary for the job that you have applied for within that industry before going for an interview? And then you, when they ask you this, you give sort of like a salary range based on that. You know, that also just shows that it shows the employer or your potential employer that you're not delulu, like how the kids say these days, and that you're actually in tune with reality and that you have realistic expectations in regards to what you expect to be paid or compensated. And then you can, like, you know, finish it off with, like, just like to soften it up a little bit. You can say that you're flexible and you're open to negotiate, and that you're more interested in the opportunity and just like learning, and, you know, and tell them that, you know, tell them about the value that you're about to bring to the organization, and that they're not going to be sort of like wasting their time. Because also, if you give an unrealistic salary amount, then, but you don't have the experience, the right skills and the knowledge, it leaves the employer or your potential employer thinking like, why should we pay you that much if we're still going to need to send you for training in order to develop you in terms of acquiring the skills and the knowledge that you need to perform your duties, you know? So yeah, just sort of try and curate your answer around that.
Okay. Quite interesting, man. But run me my check. And also another question that we posted to Esther was...
Oopsie, sorry about that.
Yes, why is there a need to check in with references, especially if one is still employed at the current job that you are trying to get away from?
Let's hear this.
Well, the second part of this question is actually really complex, and I don't have like a proper answer for it, but I'm gonna try and answer it as best that I know, as I know how. But you know, sometimes it's understandable that you may not want your current employer to be called for like a reference check if you're seeking new opportunities and you don't want them to know, especially like most times we work in very like, we work in not so conducive work environments where we are very unhappy and we're just trying to leave. So in such cases, you can inform your potential employer where you're applying at about your current situation and maybe just like provide alternative references such as former supervisors, even like your former or even colleagues, you know, or clients to if you are in a service providing institution or whatever, clients who can speak to your skills and your accomplishments without sort of jeopardizing your current employment, you know. You will be surprised that most organizations actually understand, and they understand, they get the need for people who are seeking employment or who are looking to move from their current situations to find, like, you know, better opportunities. They understand the need for confidentiality, or, you know, with respect to their requests, or not to contact their current employers. So you will be surprised that they actually do understand. Now, the need for reference check or like background checks, it's mostly just to verify the information that you have submitted. Yo guys, we lie sometimes. we can lie sometimes, but I mean we've all lied from time to time on our resumes or on our just and sometimes not even like it's not a big lie. We just sort of like overstretch a little bit.
The truth.
But it's mostly for verification of information. This can like a background check can confirm the accuracy of the information that you provided on your resume or on your application or during the interview, you know, such as the responsibilities that you had, the roles that you've been in, your qualifications, your achievements, etc. It's just really just to confirm all of this. And also just another thing is for a background check can provide somewhat of a perspective on the applicant's performance and work ethic and contributions in previous roles. And these are things that you will not get or be able to tell from a resume. So, yeah. So this information helps employers evaluate the candidate's potential for them to succeed in the role that they have applied for.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay, what's it, Esther Shivute, HR practitioner, in case you just joined us, we're asking her all the tough questions, and she is attempting to answer all of them, and we'll continue with it right after this.
In the space of a decade, the French...
It's Usher on Namibia's Heart and Soul, 7:34, Kissing Strangers. Not in this lifetime, not now. We're too old for that. Well, are we?
Oh.
Gotta kiss a couple of frogs before you find the one, Moss.
I mean, even if you have the one, yeah. You know.
Even the one?
On a night out, just, you know, yeah. Isn't that what men do?
What? Only men or what? Oh, you guys also do it. I was a Kwan Khan.
No. We don't do that. No.
Why tell us you are kissing?
No.
Random strangers. You even kiss each other.
Okay, no, that we do. It's fine.
Oh, how's that fine?
Excuse me?
Okay, you know. Yeah? It's kind of sexy, bro. But okay. I take that back. I take that back. Let's focus, okay?
Yes.
Human resources day to day.
Please.
Serious matters. Esther Shibute, our HR practitioner on the show, specializing with learning and development, is asking, answering all the questions, especially with job seeking and the struggles that we go through. And there's just certain things that we need clarity on.
Yeah.
Shaquan?
Yeah, so now sometimes, partner, you find that some organizations want both a motivational letter and a cover letter from applicants. My question is, isn't that the same thing? What's the point to this?
Yeah. Well, let's hear it.
Near NSK, there's need itself the dung me.
Oh.
But okay, well, look, but while they both a motivational letter and a cover letter, they sort of their main aim or the scope of both documents is to persuade the potential employer of your abilities and the opportunity that is, you know, presented by the post that you applied for. They differ in the sense that their scope and their purpose differs. A cover letter focuses more on the specific job application. What do I mean by this? It's much shorter and it's to the point. It accompanies your curriculum vitae. Oh, Shiwambo. The curriculum vitae when you're applying for a specific job or whatever. And in this cover letter, you introduce yourself, you mention the positions you're applying for, highlight the major key qualifications that you have, relevant experience, etc. Also, when I say relevant experience, I mean relevant experience to the job. You know, if you're applying for a chef and you were an admin officer previously, like, that's not relevant. Like, there's no need to even mention that you're admin officer, you are well versed in administrative work or whatever, because the position you're applying for is for a chef. They want to know if you're able to cook, if you're able to, you know, do the proper coordination in the kitchen. But you just, a cover letter is just where you sort of express your interest in the position and the company. Whereas a motivational letter, on the other hand, right, it offers more like a view of your motivations and your aspirations, and this is now where you lie, because we know people lie, but this way it offers more your motivation and aspirations, just a broader context beyond immediate employment, you know. You talk about your goals, your aspirations, in the context of maybe, how can I say?
I'm trying to get paid, bro. I'm not talking about aspirations.
You discuss basically your academic background, your professional experience, your personal interests, your career objectives, and how all of them put together align with the opportunity or the job that you're applying for, you know? It basically goes deeper, or it explains the reason behind your application.
Why you should be
considered for that particular post that you applied for, and that's the difference. I hope I was able to give a clear distinction. I know I'm all over the place, but that's pretty much the difference.
Okay.
Listen, what?
So, in a nutshell,
I mean, I'm unemployed.
A cover letter focuses on your qualifications, while the motivational letter expresses your enthusiasm and reasons for pursuing a particular opportunity.
Oh, I want to be the best cashier that Namibia has ever seen.
Yeah.
I want to break the record, the Guinness Book of Records, for the cashier that stands the longest on her feet. While, you know, I need a job, bro. What motivation do you, do I still need to? I've got 3 kids. I've got,
that's motivation.
That's the motivation.
Yes.
My grandmother is sick. I'm the only breadwinner if I get the job.
That's motivation.
Sorry, man.
But I'll promise you right now, a lot of us have the same template.
Mm.
The same template that is a mixture of requirements for cover letter and what's together. It's just one letter.
It's just one letter.
Yeah, like the first part of it would be like the cover letter requirement, so to say.
Mm.
We finish it off with some motivation, sure. And then we just change, we edit the date. Please, you know we do this. We edit the date, right?
Yeah.
And then if there's probably like attention to who, maybe if they did share the person's name, who you need to address it to, you change that as well. Subject line, attention for who, what, and then the company name there at the end. And then, yeah, in between here for job, what title, they edit, advertise it.
Steal.
And yes, and then that's it. Today's date, poor.
It's tough out here. 7:41. We'll continue with this in a bit.
We don't get jobs.
Yeah, bruh. So, yeah. Okay, so we get it now. Make a nice soap story. Sharp, we get it. Don't go anywhere. We've got more of it coming your way.
Get ready for the fourth sustainable
And stay aware and arrive with care. Drive safely.
That's right. It's 7:50 on Namibia's Heart and Soul. Thank you so much for choosing us today. Not that much of an interactive session, but really more of a learning session today. Esther Shivute is on the show today, answering all the tough HR questions. She is an HR practitioner specializing in learning and development. And we really, really, really just want some answers to these questions, okay? The last question that you asked, Shaquan, was... why the need for both motivational and cover letters?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Now we want a frank answer in asking: does HR really? Do they really read these
cover letters?
These cover letters.
Yeah.
Like, do they really do it?
Mm-hmm.
You guys really don't have. You guys have zero confidence.
A zero confidence.
Practitioners.
Zero.
No, we
because,
don't.
Yes. obviously, it depends, and it varies from organization to organization. I am coming from a public servant background where in most government institutions, in fact, in all government institutions, we do not require a cover letter because we have a government application form which
that
you
long
need
one.
To
Mm-mm-mm.
Fill out, and that sort of acts like the cover letter. But in most companies... individuals are required, or applicants are required, to submit this as part of the recruitment process. But I can guarantee you that HRPs or human resource practitioners, they do read the cover letters, and it's mostly for just additional insight. And I promise you that a well-written cover letter can actually help an applicant like to stand out from the rest, like it distinguishes you from the rest, because now it's showcasing your unique qualifications. Like I explained previously when I was explaining the difference between a motivational letter and a cover letter. It showcases your unique qualifications, your experiences, and personality traits that makes you a good fit for the role. So. Don't be, you know, whenever you're applying, and this is a mistake that job seekers do, never leave anything to chance. Don't think, they don't even read the letters, I'm not going to put in effort. Because I can guarantee you, on the day where you feel, where you are demoralized, and you feel like, I'm just going to do it for the sake of doing it, that is the day that they're actually now going to be considering mostly the cover letters, or they're going to be considering the best designed CV, or, you know. So whatever you do, especially when you're a job seeker or you're looking for employment, always make sure that you put in 100% effort in your application, whether it's the cover letter, whether it is your CV, whether it is even when it comes to your credentials, your qualifications that you attach. Most people or most applicants even go as far as making a copy. Like, they don't submit originally certified copies, so they make a copy from a copy, because now they're lazy to go to the police station to get it certified. So always make sure that whatever you submit, always make sure that it is proper, it is on par, like it's 100% basically. So don't give bare minimum stuff because you think people will not read it or people will not pay attention to it, because trust me, they do.
So HR does read those cover letters.
Cover letters, yeah. But then also now, the one thing that I've realized is that a lot of, you know, job opportunities, so to say, they come with the requirement of having to record a video of yourself. Somewhat, you know, motivating as you are, you deserve or somewhat need the job, so to say.
So why bruh? But anyways.
Okay, this is the first. I haven't come across this, or again, like I said, I come from a public servant or a government background, but I can imagine that submitting a video, it allows again candidates or the applicants to showcase their capabilities in a much more dynamic and like sort of personalized manner. Because now this will provide employers with somewhat additional information to make, you know, informed decision or hiring decision, because now they can also see you, like the person being described by the CV or the person being described by the motivational and cover letters. And I you know, in situations where a face-to-face interviewing is not possible, like, you know, during the pandemic, or candidates are located like in different geographical areas and they're not able to actually attend the interview for whatever reason, geographical reasons, and they're not able to travel to said venue for the interview, a video submission is actually a good thing and allows the employers to actually conduct interviews remotely and still evaluate the candidates effectively by, you know, watching the video and checking out or assessing their presentation skills and just, you know, their body language, facial expressions, demeanor, what they can provide, or, you know, and this can provide like valuable, an interview video can actually provide valuable insight into the person's interpersonal skills and their suitability for the role that they applied for. So I haven't experienced it yet, but that could be one of many reasons why different organizations require a video to be submitted with the application as well.
I think it depends on what role you're applying for. This I've actually seen in the spaces of public relations, communications, media, and marketing. Those type of jobs now, even on LinkedIn, they'll say you must record a video.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it makes sense because obviously you will be required to speak in front of people and presentations and go out and sell and all of those things.
Yeah.
I guess it's understandable in that sense.
But, you know, there's also the argument most of, but like the way I speak, it's not the measurement of my intelligence.
I hear, man.
Maybe I don't roar English most. Maybe I have my tate English. So what?
No, but that's fine.
Yeah.
We just, regardless of what language you speak, because also, let's put it this way. Maybe the product that you're going to sell, that's the market that you want to tap into.
Okay.
So as long as they understand and they spend the money,
okay,
and we know they got money.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. We'll continue with it on the other side. Also, an initiative to donate old trainers. We'll speak about that, how you can get involved and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
There's still so much more coming your way. 7:58 on Namibia's Heart and Soul. It's HR Day.
I just want to say welcome to the team. That knows the truth,
and I couldn't save you. It's, man, you could, this woman's vocals, no?
Right?
Tams is on your radio with Not an Angel. I still feel it's a bit of an underrated song, but
same.
Let it. It's one of those classic songs.
Yeah, yeah.
It will stay. It's not going anywhere.
No, it will stay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just randomly, maybe months from now, everybody's listening to you. Like, but we've been telling you. But okay,
fine, sharp. Mm. 8:37 with the NSK and Shaquan. It's Human Resources Day. Thank you so much for choosing us. Human Resources Day because, well, we are here fighting for the job seekers, Tohoba, on Fresh Breakfast, and we're asking all these questions that need to be asked.
Yeah. So also a question that I have probably just that I thought about now is just why are you asking for a CV? No, but partner, there was also not CVs anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. It's called a resume.
It's called a resume now.
Yeah. So my question is, why are you asking for a resume, but also asking me to submit all the information on my CV manually?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, sometimes what gets me, partner, is like when you have to enter certain information on one tab, right?
Mm.
But then, or slide, whatever it is. But then in order to go to the next one, you have to fill out this field. Come on, oh, you haven't filled that field. What? I'm like, what? I don't know what to say.
Exactly.
Because what is Kovico Jugulant? I don't know. And they use big words on those applications. What is happening right now? But yeah, that's my question. If I have a CV that I submit, why should I still submit my information manually?
Yes, Esther Shivute.
Oh yeah, this is what you're asking me in the morning. Yeah. And then I said I was joking about the handwriting, but it's actually really it was a joke, but it's true. So while the duplication may seem redundant, it's often done to accommodate all the candidates, their preference of submitting their application forms, and it's just to ensure that everybody has access to the application process and just to maintain compliance, because you know different organizations have to maintain their organizational process in terms of recruitment, you know, and just also to make sure that it's fair and the process is efficient for all applicants that are applying. And why I made the joke about the handwriting is because, you know, sometimes the reason why you're required to apply both ways, like manually and online, this allows the organization where you're applying at, for those employers to cross-reference the information that you provided through different channels, you know, because sometimes I don't have the best handwriting. But if I wrote there either I'm 35, but my 3 looks like an 8, but entering it manually, it's much clearer and it's accurate and it's actually complete. You know, this helps to minimize those errors and discrepancies in the whole application process.
Mm.
And also just for compliance purposes, like I said earlier, you know, some organizations may have a legal requirement that requires for them to collect applications through specific channels, both manual and online. And this just helps to, like I said, ensure compliance with relevant laws and regulations. For example, I said I'm coming from a public servant background. In government, you are required to, all government institutions require you, when you are doing an application, you need to submit your application through, by filling or completing a government application form. And if you don't, then you're basically are disqualified automatically, you know. So
there was Shaquan, sorry.
But partner, I've typed out my CV.
You've typed out your CV.
Yeah, like the document, the PDF.
It's
typed, right? I probably even use Canva for it.
Hmm.
So my 3 is not going to look like an 8 because I didn't handwrite it. Like, we don't handwrite CVs anymore.
Hmm.
Nah?
Yeah, no, I stand with you.
Yeah.
But I think maybe she's talking also from a government's perspective. Because you must understand, like, for government, they probably get CVs from all over the country, including rural areas.
Yeah.
And rural areas, you know, it's not as advanced as us. It's crazy that I'm calling a computer advanced in 2024, but for rural areas, you know, to go that effort of, you know, typing out a CV. So maybe there is still that factor of some people submitting CVs via handwriting.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she is speaking from a government's perspective also, because she is involved also, in public, she's a public servant.
You know these government application forms, mm. Nay? I know that the application forms, do people still fill them out? Or, last I checked, there was a website.
Mm.
You know what, in fact, last week, I actually saw somewhat of a tutorial on Facebook on how to fill it out. But it was computerized.
It was computerized. Yeah, it should be, man. We're in 2024,
yeah.
Right? But then again, because
we never know, yeah.
Because it's government, there should be some sort of factor where they make provision for really like destitute areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And destitute situations.
Yeah, yeah.
There was also a voice note that that came in at the time asking something, and she responded to it. Let's really play that voice note from a listener. Give us a second. Here we are.
Morning, Shekwan. Food for thought, Nay. Regarding references, it's always best to call your references. You can use someone to call them, and then you just hear what they have to say about you. Really, you can ask a friend, a colleague, or someone else to call your references, so you just hear what your references say about you. It's really, really, really important. Know who your references are and know what they say about you. Because the reason you're probably not getting a job is because of that ex HR manager that you put there, that you guys have beef, and now they are making your life a living hell. Of Fustangi.
Hmm.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But just always call your references.
To which Esther Shivuta replied and said...
Mm-hmm. Yo, and this is not very common, but it's common. It happens. And dealing with references who provide negative feedback due to personal reasons or whatever challenges that they might have, you know, supervisor and subordinate. It boils down to it being a moral issue, you know, but what you can do is sort of seek alternative reference. Try and only provide references who can speak positively about your skills, your work ethic, and your character. Try and make sure that you include or choose individuals on your resume who can offer like a balanced, constructive feedback based on their professional interactions with you, and not a view or reference that is motivated by malicious, or that has like malicious intent attached to it. So try and always make sure that you choose individuals who you know that they have a moral compass, that their moral compass is intact, and that they will offer a balanced, true reflection of your professionalism and your skills and what you bring to the table, you know. And also, like, if I'm a potential employer and I call to do a reference check and all I'm hearing is the negative, it also like brings a question to mind that, but why is this person still within your organization if they're so bad, or if they're not able to carry out their work, or if they're not well equipped? Why have you not done anything to make sure that the person is, for lack of a better word, not rehabilitated, but why have you not done anything to change their behavior or to develop their skills if they are lacking in a particular department? Why have you not done any of that? Because all I'm hearing is you as a supervisor or you as a current employer bashing the character of your employee or your subordinate, and bashing their skills and their work ethic, etc. But I'm nothing constructive, but yet they're still employed by you. So it also, like, we don't take everything at face value when we do reference checks.
All right. So there is a bit of a balance of probabilities also where HR sits there and think, okay, but like, if the person is unhappy, it can't just be one side, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you, as the manager or the superior, that's telling me all these negative things about the said person? How is it possible that this person is still there then? You know what I mean? Why? What have you done to capacitate and resource this person to enable a changed attitude or, you know, more productivity? As you are saying right now, oh, NSK is so terrible, he's so terrible, he's so terrible, don't trust him. Or, then why is he still in your organization? Some food for thought.
Food for thought, man. But it's just, you know, I'm thinking to myself now that it's true what Lindsay said, just in terms of really checking your references. Because, you know, there's a lot of jealousy, man. Hypothetically, you're working at whatever company.
Yeah.
You leave this company. And now you're working at another company. You might, you know, on social media, for example, you know how we like to befriend each other with the people that we work with and whatever, right? On social media, it looks like you are doing really good. Now, I'm stuck in this job, at this organization that you left me at, right? And it seems like you're thriving. And now, on top of you looking like you're thriving on social media, I'm getting calls about you applying for jobs in different places. Now I'm going to start feeling some type of way.
100%. 100%. Which is why this thing is so tricky. I think we need to have more of these sessions, you know, because it's just a lot of questions.
Yeah.
But notwithstanding that, it's 8:49. Heartleave is launching something exciting. We'll get to that right after this.
Breakfast is on us. 102.9 Fresh FM. Fresh FM.